It's Aliens, Part 2. This week we have the Travis Walton alien abduction case. I promise we will focus on other things besides aliens very soon. But until that time, children, grab your tinfoil hats, settle on in into bed, and let me tell you a tale of alien abduction. Actually, don't listen to this before you fall asleep, if you're susceptible to nightmares. Anyway, this is Star Queen Paranormal. Stay tuned. Sometimes things are a bit off. It's human nature to seek answers, but sometimes there are no answers. Star Queen Paranormal is here to help not make any progress on finding those answers. Stare deeply into the void and ask it, "Hey Void, why are you staring back?" Impress your friends at parties with your vast knowledge of controversial topics. The everyday that makes you say, "Hey." Star Queen Paranormal is here to keep that awe and mystery alive, to light the spark of curiosity, to delve a little deeper into the unseen. For the enthusiasts of the strange and extraordinary, align the stars with the bizarre. This is Star Queen Paranormal. Salutations, Stardusties. This is your hostess of the ghostess, your countess of the kinks, the gatekeeper, the wand whisperer, and your own personal sword of Damocles. I am Exe the Star Queen. As always, a friendly reminder that the point of this podcast is not to convince anyone that any of this is real, as life requires a healthy dose of skepticism. Our goal is to present information for you to formulate your own opinions and ideas on some of the more curious subjects of our reality. Not to change your mind, but to broaden it. To present the idea. For, in the words of Linus Pauling, if you want to have good ideas, you must have many ideas. Welcome to the very, what is this, sixth episode of Star Queen Paranormal. I do want, real quickly, to go back and correct myself. In the last episode, I said The Interrupted Journey, the adaptation of the Betty and Barney Hill abduction. I think I said that was a film, and I went back and fact-checked myself, because sometimes I'm wrong. And, of course, I was wrong. It was a book. There was eventually a film adaptation, but the one I'm mentioned was a book. Anyway, Stardusties, how have you been? Thank you again for joining me for a sixth episode. I forgot to do this last week, but I'm gonna do some stuff on number six. So for angel number, six symbolizes finances, material possessions, and the anxieties that we face in our daily lives. Hopefully this episode doesn't give you anxiety. I don't know. Alien abduction stories always give me anxiety. But we're not here for my anxiety. We're here for terrible tarot. It's terrible and tarot, but it's a part of my show. Because I don't know what I'm doing half the time. All right, Stardusties, you asked for it. Here it is. This is a segment I call Terrible Tarot.
Terrible Tarot.
Now, why is it terrible? Well, I'm not an identified psychic. I don't claim to be, though I might play one on TV someday. But here's the deal. I will pick three cards, and I will give you a tarot reading. And it's going to be terribly interpreted because, well, I'm a podcast host, not a tarot reader. Though sometimes I am. Shh. Today's deck is my plain Rider-Waite deck. And today's cards are Judgment, Two of Wands, and Four of Pentacles. This kind of feels a little like last week's reading. For those of you who can't see, because I do not have video, the Judgment card is like a giant angel in the sky, and there are people rising up from like little caskets with their arms outstretched. And there's either mountains or like a giant tsunami in the background. Gonna go with mountains. The Two of Wands also has mountains in the background, but it's a gentleman holding the world in his hand. gazing out into the sea with one staff in his hand and one staff behind him. And the Four of Pentacles is a king with a pentacle on his head, a pentacle in his arms, and two pentacles under his feet. And he is before a great city. So today's terrible interpretation is there is some kind of thing that's a little out of your control that you know you're going to get or that you've been waiting for. In fact, you're very sure it's yours, but the advice is to kind of hang on tight and not let too many people know about this, whatever it is. Be a little bit more frugal about your thoughts and opinions on it. Just sit back and wait, because whatever it is meant to be yours. And that's my terrible interpretation of these cards. Today's quote from whatever I feel like quoting: art is fire plus algebra. And that quote was by Lisa Cron. Her story, Wired for Story. In today's bizarre headlines, the Bewitched statue, the TV show Bewitched, was vandalized at Salem, Massachusetts. This article was from AP News, June 7th, 2022. At about 5 p.m., witnesses called to report someone spray-painting the statue of Samantha Stevens from the show Bewitched, who was portrayed by Elizabeth Montgomery. You know, she's the nose-wiggling wife of Darren, daughter of Andorra. It used to be one of my favorite shows. I love classic television. But anyway, the suspect was caught. He was a 32-year-old male who was down on hard times, and he was looking to be arrested. He was charged with defacing property, resisting arrest, and disorderly conduct. Sorry, I was trying to remember the Bewitched theme, because I probably can't legally play it here. I'm sure there are legal ways for me to do that, but I'm just starting out, man. I'm new to this gig. Anyway, imagine me wiggling my nose. It's the middle of the night, and I hear someone calling my name from a dark, empty forest. I've got to pretend not to hear this. Be right back.
Hey! Welcome to Shamblefest!
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on!
The boys are back in town and I am back from break.
We're back from break.
And today we are going to discuss Travis Walton. This is kind of a part two to the alien abduction episode from last week. So again, if you are sensitive to abduction stories, for whatever reason, I know I am sometimes, you are free to skip this episode. I think next week I'll just do a nice tame ghost story. A nice, not stressful ghost story about hauntings and maybe murder. But, you know, not as scary as creatures taking you in the middle of the night. So this is your trigger warning, and this is your invitation to leave if it makes you uncomfortable. And here we go. The Travis Walton UFO case is often described as one of the most credible UFO abduction cases. On November 5th, 1975, Travis Walton was one of seven loggers assigned to thin trees in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest, near Snowflake, Arizona. A light appeared in the forest. A saucer-shaped golden disk hovered approximately 110 feet away. The witnesses claimed it made a high-tech buzzing sound. Six of the crewmates kept their distance, but Travis began to approach the ship. This foolhardy decision led to a sequence of terrifying events. A bluish-green beam of light erupted from the disk, striking Travis in the head and chest and flinging him backwards. The strike left Travis unconscious. Horrified at what they had just witnessed, the other loggers fled the scene in panic, believing Travis to be dead. They sought help from the local police department. A search was underway. A search with scent dogs and helicopters. A search that would turn up nothing. At one point, the police began to suspect the other loggers of murdering Travis, but they had absolutely nothing to work with. Then, when all hope had seemed to be lost, about 5 days and 6 hours after Travis had gone missing, he reappeared on the side of the road near Heber, Arizona. So where had Travis gone? What happened? Well, in many interviews, Travis recalls the abduction in great detail, describing it as one of the most terrifying experiences of his life. And his story has never wavered or changed in the least. And the same could be said for the other witnesses. Their stories never wavered or changed. But in Travis's words, from Travis Walton's website, I looked at the vague but reassuring forms of the doctors around me. Abruptly, my vision cleared. The sudden horror of what I saw rocked me as I realized I was definitely not in a hospital. I was looking square into the face of a horrible creature, with huge, luminous brown eyes the size of quarters. I looked frantically around me. There were three of them. Hysteria overcame me instantly. When he came to, he said that he was in a hospital-type room, and he was being observed by three bald, short creatures. Travis remembers that he panicked and put up a little bit of a fight. He said that he pushed one of the short, bald people away, and that his body was spongy and light. But pushing the tiny person away caused a device that was laying across Travis's chest to crash to the floor. The trio of humanoids started toward Travis with their arms outstretched. In pure panic, Travis grabs the nearest thing he can find that he could make a weapon out of. He grabbed something that was like a tube, and it felt glass-like, but when he tried to break it, it wouldn't break. But he lashed out with the weapon anyway. The trio of humanoids stopped, and they just stood there quietly. From the website, they stood still, mutely. They were a little under 5 feet in height. They had a basic humanoid form, two legs, two arms, hands with 5 digits each, and a head with the normal human arrangement of features. But beyond the outline, any similarity to humans was terrifyingly absent. Their thin bones were covered with white, marshmallowy-looking flesh. They had a single-piece coverall-type suit made of soft, swede-like material, orangish-brown in color. And then it describes the outfit a little bit more. And they wore simple pinkish-tan footwear. When they extended their arms toward me, I noticed they had no fingernails. Their hands were small and delicate, without hair. Their thin, round fingers looked soft and unwrinkled. Their smooth skin was so pale that it looked chalky, like ivory. He goes on to explain that they had an infantile-type appearance to them, with thin lips. And he noticed that with all the screaming and hysterical questions he was throwing at them, they never once said anything to them, or to him. Still bracing himself for an attack, the trio of humanoids abruptly turned and scurried out of the room. After a moment of panic, Travis says he walked out of the room to try and find a way out. And then he walked down a corridor, and that the hallway he was in was empty. He eventually found a series of chairs with controls, and he toyed with the idea of pressing buttons, but he was afraid that if he pressed the wrong button, it could hurt everybody. But he looked back toward the doorway, and there was a human standing there. I stood frozen to the spot. He was a man about 6 feet 2 inches tall. His helmeted head barely cleared the doorway. He was extremely muscular and evenly proportioned. He appeared to weigh about 200 pounds. He wore a tight-fitting, bright blue suit of soft material that looked like velour. He had no tools or weapons on him. The human took Travis to a small room. An airlock-type room, perhaps? It was a small metal cubicle, but Travis remarked how he could feel the fresh air coming in. He descended a ramp, thinking he was outside at first, but then realizing he was in an even bigger room. Looking around the room, he noticed three small ships that looked like the ship he had seen in the forest. The man escorted Travis around the ship. After being shown around the ship, they arrived in a room where two men and a woman in a velvet blue uniforms were standing around a table. Travis attempted to talk to these people. He asked them what was going on, but all of them remained silent. Nobody answered Travis's desperate pleas for information. These three muscular humans then lifted Travis onto the table. Travis fought and struggled, but then they pushed something that appeared to be like an oxygen mask with no tubes onto his face. Travis blacked out. He awoke on cold pavement, lying on his stomach. He raised his head to see a white light that blinked off for a second. Then he saw the mirrored outline of a rounded, silvery disc hovering 4 feet above the pavement. It floated there silently. Then, rather abruptly, it shot off vertically into the sky, disappearing in an instant. Travis eventually got up and wandered along a deserted highway, having very little to no luck finding anyone who could help him. He eventually found himself at a gas station near Heber, Arizona. He called his brother-in-law. At first, his brother-in-law thought the phone call was a joke. "You must have the wrong number," his brother-in-law said disdainfully. Eventually, Travis was able to convince him that it was really him. When Travis was eventually picked up, Travis began to sob in the back of the truck as he began to recount his tale. As he sobbed, he realized that his facial hair had grown. He believed he had just shaven that day, and yet he had about a week's worth of facial hair growth. Travis had believed he had only been gone for a few hours. That's when he was told he had been missing for 5 days. Now, in a later interview, Travis does confess that he may have overreacted when he woke up on the ship, because he now believes that the aliens were not threatening to him, that he overreacted because of his own ignorance. You can read more about this account in Travis Walton's book, Fire in the Sky. And it's important to note that not only Travis, but all the witnesses of the alien abduction passed polygraph exams when questioned about the incident. Now, many skeptics who've handled this case do point out that polygraphs are not always reliable. But to this day, Travis Walton still insists that his experience was true. So, my little Stardusties, what do you think? Do you think it's possible that Travis Walton was abducted by aliens that night? That 6 witnesses all shared the same story about how Travis had come to disappear? And that Travis himself reappeared 5 days later after an extensive search with dogs and helicopters when all hope seemed lost? He reemerged out of nowhere in a completely different location. Or do you believe that perhaps this is some elaborate hoax with 7 people involved? We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you or someone you love has been afflicted with a story of the paranormal, we'd like to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out at Starqueen Paranormal on Facebook and Instagram. Be entirely underwhelmed with our TikTok page at StarQueen_Paranormal, or toss some coin at us at patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal, where for as little as $1, you can access exclusive content like my own personal alien abduction story, which is not as interesting or fascinating as Benny and Barty Hill or Travis Walton. But you can access exclusive content, all while supporting a Star Queen in need.
That's me!
So, Stardusties, may you have every weapon you'll ever need to face your demons. I'm rooting for you. I believe in you. Always remember to be mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.